Gundealio.com is a one-stop shop for the deals on guns and gear. The latest price drops, discounts, dealer codes, and more. Don't waste time or money. Visit Gundealio.com for guns, ammunition, gear, optics, holsters, and more. Gundealio.com.
All right, sitting out here with my buddy Chris Cerrito, who is, I guess, the newest hire at Gun Talk Media Empire, because even as we speak, we're up in New England right now at the SIG Academy, but down there, they're moving into the new place, aren't they?
Yeah, I moved on the first day on Monday this week, and then I got to get out of there on Tuesday, so... Yeah, I hope it's all done.
That's right. Don't go back until they say it's all done. Everything's moved in, right? So you might just give them kind of an idea of what Range Ready is and what you're going to be doing and how this is going to change Gun Talk.
Well, it's going to change everything for us because we're going to be able to run training classes. We're going to be able to shoot all our videos, our live fire videos. We can just pop out the back door. We can test fire guns. We can do anything we really want there. And it's 20 miles closer to my home.
You bought a farm.
Yeah. I got a nice place up in the hills. I'm at 180-foot elevation, so that's the hills in Louisiana.
That is the high ground in Louisiana. And you got a tractor?
I do. I got a big Mahindra, and I got all the attachments, and it really makes life a lot easier for this older fella.
And you get to shoot, too.
I can shoot right from my back step. Yes, I have a shooting bench. I got a 200-yard range, and I'm good to go.
And the new place for Gun Talk, it's a kind of, if you will, halfway between New Orleans and Baton Rouge. And it's a complex, a media complex with a really world-class television studio with lots of video possibilities there. Classrooms, headquarters, offices, edit suites for the video guys. Even an indoor place where you can do some training, force-on-force stuff. Not absolutely live fire, but with sims and that type of thing.
Yep.
And then outside, what do you got?
We got a 100-yard range, a 50-yard range, and we have a short range that can go back to 50, but for the most part, it's a 25-yard range, and
right,
we can. I'm gonna set that one up with steel. That's where we'll have all our fun, and I'm hoping that we can keep that stuff out there, and we don't have any vandals.
So shooting guns and gear, shooting all your online videos, and you got a brand new show you're going to start shooting here just in a week or two.
Yes, actually, casting's done with that, and flights and hotels are scheduled for all the contestants on Build Box, which is going to be airing on Outdoor Channel,
wow,
and it's going to start in October. We're going to be filming that all of August, and we are super excited to do it because guys are going to come in, and it's going to be like guys' grocery games with guns.
So what are they going to do?
We're going to have three contestants, three judges, and we are going to give them a giant box full of parts, and we're going to tell them what we want to see, and they're going to build the guns, and we're going to do AR-15s. We're going to have the Glock clone guns, and we're going to do long-range hunters, modern long-range hunters, and this is the first season. So we've only got six episodes scheduled, but we are going to do as much as we can to make it interesting. We're going to have all the tools. Everything's ready. All these guys have to do is show up and then build us within the parameters of what we tell them we want, and then make it cool.
And there's a time limit.
Yeah, there's going to be a time limit set for that, and we're not disclosing what the time limit is yet because, yeah, honestly, we think we might be a little short on time. We might have to extend it. We're not sure.
Yeah. Well, you won't know until you start, really.
Yeah, you know, when we film the first episode, we may have to say, listen, this isn't going to get done in 1 hour. You know, we may have to up this to an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever, you know?
Right. Well, it's going to be great. That'll start airing in October on Outdoor Channel. All right, so we're sitting out here. Yeah, we're at the SIG Academy. They invited some media people in. They had the opening of the Experience Center, which is quite an amazing place. You have been to a lot of gun factories in your experience, in your career. What's your impression when you go through here and see what they're doing?
You know, I truly am impressed with their operations. The fact that they're building, I mean, just on, you know, they're building all these different guns. So let's call one gun, like, let's say the 365, that's a line.
Mm-hmm.
They're building like 700, 1,000, 1,200 guns in a day. And then times that by every gun that they're making. So all these people are in there, they're working their butts off. They've got all these different stations and bins and parts, and they're not focusing on one gun this week and one gun next week. They're building them all at the same time, Tom. Mm-hmm. And I'm blown away by that. I'm also blown away by their integration of robotics with the human being.
Yes.
The robotics will give you consistency and, I mean, you know, very minimal errors. The humans are there to do so much more. I mean, they've got 3,000 employees, Tom.
Because 3,000. People say, oh, well, they're putting in robots so they can replace the people. No, they're hiring. I mean, right now they said they have 400 slots open. And what was interesting to me is they said, didn't he say like a third of their employees are military veterans and former law enforcement?
Absolutely.
So they really have an emphasis on that. So if you're listening and you're former law enforcement or former military and you think you'd like to, they're hiring.
Yeah, if you want to work in the gun industry, this is the place to be because these folks here at Sig Sauer are ready to they're just going to conquer. They're not going to do any division. I was going to say divide and conquer, but man, they are just conquering everything. And, you know, the thing is, I saw a machine and I asked the fella, I said, Jeff, I said, what is this machine doing? And this machine was just taking bar stock out, putting it into trays that go into machines for loading and cutting slides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, you're looking at robotics and somebody could do that, but who's going to do that? And what do you pay them? You know, who's going to do that? Just sit there and sort out metal bars all day and just go from here to there.
That's the thing that's better done by a machine. There are other things you can do that are better done by people.
Yeah, they've got people on all the right places. Of course, there are assembly lines, and then they're checking. And they've got robots that run these guns through for function tests. And, I mean, you can't expect to keep somebody sitting in front of a bench just racking slides and pressing triggers all day long. And I know to some of you out there, I mean, listen, you know, everybody says, oh, there's no such thing as, too much cheating. Well, there is. There is such a thing as too much cheating. There is such a thing as too much handling of guns and then racking. And somebody comes up and starts asking questions or you start talking about what you did last night.
And they make a mistake of some sort.
But, hey, they got the people. The people are there. They're doing their quick function tests, thrown into a machine and going.
And think about this, something that most people never think about, and you've been in the gun business, they don't think about this, but from the time that thing becomes a firearm, according to ATF, that part has to be tracked wherever it moves on the floor.
Yeah.
It's crazy the amount of documentation they have to have at all times.
Yeah, the compliance officer is who walked us around today, and honestly, his hands are full. I'm totally not surprised that he's 28 years old and has completely white hair.
Not true, but he does have white hair.
I think he was lying about his age, but he does have white hair, and honestly, my hair would be white if I had that
job. When ATF comes in and does like a compliance check, they may be here with 20 people for 2 weeks tearing things up.
I mean, we took pictures of boxes and stacks and pallets of guns. I mean, literally thousands and thousands. I mean, we're talking 100,000, 120,000 guns. And when the ATF comes in, he told us they had to actually literally unbox every single one of
them. Every gun in the building.
And match the serial number with the register with the box and then put it back.
So that's the kind of things that we don't think about. Say, well, you know, what's the big deal? They're making guns. Yeah, there's so much more to it than that. And then, of course, they got the military contracts, and that all has to be made in a separate area that's quarantined off where other people can't get there. It's an impressive operation, but mostly it's a lot of fun. We got to shoot some of the pistols today. We actually got to shoot some things we can't quite talk about yet, but it's coming up pretty soon.
And then we're going to shoot more.
Yeah.
We're going to shoot more.
And some of this stuff you have already shot, and you've already shot videos on, and Gun Talk, as soon as they give us a release date, they'll be able to see the videos on these.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, we shot some old classics today, too. I mean, let's talk about that 210 for just 1 second.
Is that got like the sweetest trigger in the world? It's just so nice.
I mean, it's like pulling your finger through pudding. It's like air, you know. You're like nothing there, and all of a sudden the gun goes off and the bullets go exactly where you're pointing at.
You know, it was funny. We were at the range, and I'm shooting, and I'm going, I'm shooting a little bit off. And then you shoot the same gun, and you're shooting exactly the same place. And I must see the iron sights the same way.
Well, there's no other way to see them other than aligned. I mean,
right,
equal spacing even across the top. And we make, you know, you say, I made this sight picture. I say, okay, I'm going to shoot it and make the same sight picture. And the bullets go in the exact same spot, which means we know how to shoot. We know how to press the trigger. And now it's time to try a different ammo or move some sights.
Right, exactly.
And
if you don't like what you're getting, change something. Assuming you can shoot small groups, because if you're all over the place, then it's not the gun, because these guns don't spray.
Yeah, no, if you can shoot a group, then you're justified in moving your sights as long as, you know, somebody else is shooting the same group. Because honestly, you could be shooting a fundamental error, and some people shoot with a fundamental error that is so consistent They would swear on their mother's life that the gun is messed up.
That's right. This, you know, they shoot small groups, but not to the right place, and somebody else takes the same gun, and then they go and shoot, and all of a sudden the bullets are going where they're supposed to go. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You need to verify that.
It's cool that you and I shoot exactly the same, but you know what? You've been doing this a long time, and
you have too.
I've been trying to master it for a long time, and so I was not surprised.
We're having a good time out here. Chris Reno, as always, thanks for spending some time with us, man. All right, don't go far. Gun Talk will be right back.
Check out the future of optics at ATN. ATN Optics unites top-of-the-line performance with state-of-the-art technology in thermal and digital day and night systems that allow you to do more. Are you a hunter or a shooter? ATN Optics gives you that edge to perform better and bring home the big prize. Find yours now, along with monthly promos and deals, at the ATN website. Born in Sweden in 1902, Norma, a brand synonymous with quality and innovation, celebrates 120 years of providing premium ammunition throughout the globe. In Savannah, Georgia, Norma USA carries that tradition on with an even wider range of shooting disciplines. Norma's monolithic hollow point, or MHP, offers extreme consistency and predictability in a solid copper cold-formed projectile. Lightweight and reliable. Try Norma MHP ammunition today. NormaShooting.com.
Kimber Rapide 1911s. Heart racing. Jaw dropping. Hard hitting. If their appearance alone has this effect, imagine firing one. Three highly customized handguns, the original Rapide 1911, the Rapide Dawn, and Rapide Scorpius, each with a look and personality all its own, and performance to match. Get a look and find out where to get yours at KimberAmerica.com.
Hi, we're back. Tom Gresham. It's Gun Talk. 866 Talk Gun or Tom Talk Gun. Get you in. We're open lines now, so if you want to talk about your guns, my guns, or what guns you want to buy, or you don't want to sell guns, do you? Nah, we don't do that. Give me a call. Look at the calendar. Tomorrow, as we're talking today on the last day of July, tomorrow it's August 1. A lot of people are going to wake up tomorrow and go, oh, hunting seasons are coming. My gun is not what I wanted it to be. It's either broken or this or it's that. And then they're going to start taking guns to the gunsmiths at some point. If you have a project or something you need to get to a gunsmith, all I can tell you is try to get ahead of it, because in about 30 days, gunsmiths are starting to be flooded with everybody who just kind of woke up to the fact that, oh, hunt season's coming around again. Yeah, it does every year in the fall. And that project, that gun you wanted fixed or scope you wanted mounted or whatever it was, you think it's a two-day deal. They're going, yeah, we'll get to that in 4 weeks, just because that's how far behind you are. So there's my friendly little reminder to get that work done now while you can. Think about it. Get it to them. 866-TALK-GUN. Let's talk to Michael out of Russell, Kansas on one. Hey, Michael, thanks for the call. What's up?
I was just wondering, why are so many gun manufacturers staying close to the coast and not out in the Midwest in more friendly gun states?
Well, it's an interesting question, and I think, I don't know if you've kept up with it, but an awful lot of gun makers have moved out of those unfriendly states. I mean, a lot of them have. Over the past 10 years, you've got companies moving to Georgia and North Carolina and Tennessee. Arkansas. Of course, Weatherby is now in Wyoming, left California, went to Wyoming. So a lot of them have moved. Smith & Wesson is building a big operation in the South, getting out of Massachusetts, at least in part, if not completely. We'll see what happens there. It's a lot of them just said, you know, we can't do business here anymore. On the other hand, it's not easy, nor is it cheap in any form or fashion, to move a big company. It, you know, it's easy for you and me to say, yeah, you guys ought to just move. They go, yeah, okay, you got $50 million you can give us to finance the move?
No, and I agree with that. What can people in their states do to keep the money solvent for the gun manufacturers so we're not worrying about them being withheld by banks and other type of companies? What legislation can we pass that
way? Well, that's a good point. Yeah, to the point, a lot of banks have said we're not going to do business with gun companies. The National Shooting Sports Foundation has introduced the FIND Act in a number of states. It's financial, I can't remember, independence, something, F-I-N-D. But basically it says you can't discriminate against gun makers just because you don't like their politics or the products they make. Because the idea is, and look, let's be realistic about this. These companies didn't come up with this on their own. They have all been approached by the woke crowd, by the gun ban lobby, and they go to anything from credit unions to major corporations and banks and say, you need to get out of that business. And the idea is, understand what the goal is. The goal is to stop gun making in this country, to drive it completely out of business, choke off the source of money, or in the case of being able to sue gun makers for the criminal misuse of guns, to get rid of the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, which protects gun makers from these political lawsuits. The goal is clearly to crush, to destroy the firearms industry. So what can, you know, back to your question, what can we do? When we hear of a company, whether it is Citibank or whomever it is, who is doing this, then it's up to us to all notify them, not just say, I'm going to drop that card, whatever, but notify them and say, I am no longer doing business with you because of your discrimination policies. You are discriminating against an industry that actually what they make is protected in the Constitution. And so I and 10,000 or 100,000 or a million of us will no longer do business with you, whoever that is. And the only way to know about that is to be on the right list from the NRA, from the National Shooting Sports Foundation, Gun Owners of America, the Second Amendment Foundation. I mean, you got to be on the list of everybody so you can be notified. Or you could follow me on Twitter where I'll give all this information out.
Okay.
All right, good deal. Good questions, and I appreciate the call, sir. You take care. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, we're good here. I'm just checking on time. All right. Dave, line 3, Los Lumas, New Mexico. Hey, Dave.
Good afternoon, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Looking for a recommendation or even a little bit of guidance. Trying to locate a child-sized 22 bolt action, doesn't matter if it's magazine or tube-fed. And the reason I'm looking for child-sized is because my wife is like 5 foot nothing. I picked up the Mossberg 801, went through the orientation with her on that thing, and her arms are not long enough.
Okay, Mossberg has, if in the Mossberg line, they have the Patriot Youth Super Bantam rifles. I don't know if you've looked at those.
I saw the print size, which I think the stock is a bit shorter, that might fit her better. The semi-automatic wasn't going with that, ammo being as expensive as it is. Somebody can concentrate on where they're dropping their rounds more when they have to actually cycle the action.
Right. So, and the cricket's going to be too small for her. That's for like little bitty kids. But there are a number of companies that have youth models. Now, the other way to go, I mean, it's pretty obvious, but you get a regular rifle and then just cut the stock down shorter.
Most of them I noticed, they no longer come with wooden stocks. They come with the plastic ones.
Yes, I mean, a lot of them do, but some of them, I mean, you can still get wood stocks. The Ruger 7722, for instance, is a really fine rifle, 22 rifle with a wood stock, and any gunsmith can shorten that. And even, you know, if it were me, I would, not that you need it for the recoil, but I would still put a recoil pad on it because I hate plastic butt plates. They slip off the shoulder. I just think they're no good. So I would put some kind of a rubber pad on it. But honestly, you know, for your wife, something like that. I love that rifle, by the way. That Ruger 7722 is just a great rifle. You might, you know, get something like that and see if you can shorten it up. Another way to go, I'm just thinking, without going online and looking right now, I think I remember the Ruger Precision rifle and rimfire has adjustable length of pull. And that would be a delightful rifle.
Okay, what is that called again?
It's called the Ruger Precision Rifle, RPR.
RPR.
Yep. Take a look at that online. Go to the Ruger website. Take a look at the Ruger Precision Rifle, the rimfire, and see what that'll do for you. There you go. Okay, yeah, we got time for this. Let's see. Beaver in Roman Oak, Oklahoma, line 5. Hey, Beaver, you're on Gun Talk. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on?
Talk to me.
I was wondering how come y'all talk more high-dollar guns for should have more for everyday people, like Heritage 120, you know, for 125, 150, or cheap guns like from Walmart. We bought Walmart shotguns last Christmas for 125.
Well, caller right before you, I was telling him to look at the Mossberg 22s. That's not exactly a high-end gun, is it?
No, it is not. But most of the time you're talking long-range guns and $800 sights. I know that people would like to have the best, but I'd like to have the best for the money I can afford.
Oh, I understand.
That's what and, I'm talking about.
Well, we talk about the Ruger American Rifle and centerfire rifles, $500, $600 bucks, as opposed to $1,000 to $2,000 rifles. For $500 or $600 bucks, that's a great rifle. And that's just kind of where we are right now. That's not a ton of money these days for a quality rifle. Now, yes, there are some rifles, there are some guns that are even less expensive, and I'm all about that. And Ruger's, for instance, Ruger's got some single-action revolvers that are much less expensive. So you might take a look at that. There are a lot of cool guns. The Ruger Scout, Jim's saying, don't know about that one. But yeah, we talk about basically all over the place. I'm not one to spend $7,000 on a rifle, but for $600 to $1,000 for a deer rifle, I'm sorry. I'd love to say that that's not where we are, but that's kind of where we are these days. And you can get a good scope anywhere from $300 to $3,000. I tend to be toward the bottom end, but that's just me. 866 Talk Gun. What do you spend your money on? All right, back with you. 866 Talk Gun. We'll get you in here. I'm Tom Gresham. Looking at the hunting seasons are like rushing at us. Got a buddy who just put out all of his gear getting ready for hunting season. He's got his tents laid out, he's got his sleeping bags, he's got the pads, sleeping pads. I mean, it's, everything is laid out, and it's going to be still a while, but he's ready. Honestly, and I've always said this, part of the fun of the whole thing, I think it's an important part of it, is the planning process. It's like you only hunt for a few days generally, but you can do the planning and the preparation for a long time, which gives you a lot of enjoyment for the whole season. If you're a bird hunter and you're working with your dogs, you get to work with your dogs for months or actually many cases, year-round. It's like stretching out the hunting season. Just fun stuff. In my case, I kind of make the whole reloading process and getting the rifles ready a part of what I enjoy doing. I like the tinkering part of it, the preparation. It's like kind of like you're hunting, but you're not. You're getting ready for it. And so I got my 284 out, my old 284 that I just bought. It's a God, when was that thing made? Mid-80s. And I've kind of got the group started where I want them to be, but I just got some more bullets. I'm going to try some of those. It's weird how different rifles like different things. And it did not shoot the 160-grain partitions well for whatever reason. And those are great bullets. I had those bullets shoot great in other rifles. But it shot the same weight, 160-grain, the Nosler, same manufacturer, the Accubon bullets very well. Okay. So I'm going to try some different weights. I'm going to drop down to some 150-grain bullets, and I want to try a little bit more of the Barnes X bullets, or TTSX. Those have done very well for me in the past. I'm going to see how those shoot. Basically, I'm just going to try to find the rig, the bullets, everything that works the best that this rifle shoots well. That means a lot of loading. It means a lot of trips to the range. And while that may sound like work to some people, to me it just sounds like a whole bunch of fun. So I'll be doing a bunch of that as I get ready for this season. Our number here, 866-TALK-GUN. Are you loading, getting ready for the season? Or are you one who loads just to save money, like making lots of ammo? I kind of go the other way. I'm not going to sit there and be a factory and crank out 9mm ammo. A lot of people do. I get that. I understand. But for me, it's more the tinkering and fine-tuning and precision stuff. So not that I'm a precision shooter at all, not like some of these people who are really good at it. Don't pretend to be that person. Could never get away with it. Tim's in Carson City, Nevada on line one. Hey, Tim, you're on Gun Talk.
Hey, Tom. I had a question for you. I was trying to break in my new SIG P365 XL, mm-hmm. The comp version. And the what I've been running into is when I put a new mag in, I come back to slide lock, put a new mag up, and I slam it home. And then the slide releases forward as I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. And it's doing that on with multiple magazines on a consistent basis. And I've heard split opinions. Some people say, hey, that's great, it saves me a step. But my fear is that I don't know what point that slide's coming forward, if it's feeding around in or not. And so I have to press check it and double check, hey, do I have a round in the chamber or not? And I was just wondering if that's a flaw in the weapon, or is it just nature of the beast with too much force being applied to putting the mag in?
Well, you know, one is, you know, you're slamming the magazine home, and that's okay. Here's what I have found through the years. It happens inconsistently. I've had a number of guns that would do that. It would drop the slide when you put the magazine in. If you're pushing it in hard, you do a quick reload. Not if you're just easing it in. Sometimes you have it happen on one gun of a particular make, and another gun of the exact same make does not happen. I'm not sure what the mechanism is in there that's making that happen, but I ended up adopting the attitude that I don't care. I'm guessing, and you'd have to tell me, I'm betting that 100% of the time, though, it's feeding around into the chamber.
So far, you're exactly right. Yep.
Yeah. I've never had it not feed around in. So that, you know, it's just one of those deals of if you slam the magazine in and the slide drops, go ahead and get on target and press the trigger, assuming you're doing some quick reload drills and things like that. I don't think it's an issue. If, however, it really bothers you, it may be something you could have a gunsmith check on. There may be a spring or some setting in there, and man, I'm the least mechanical person in the world for that, that could be adjusted. If it's me, maybe I have a lackadaisical attitude about the whole thing. It just doesn't bother me. I just go, yeah, that's just going to happen. Sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes it does. If I slam it home and I reach up to drop the slide and it's already gone forward, you know, no worries. I'm there. Just get back in the fight or get back in the game.
Right. Got it. Thanks a million. Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate the call. You take care. Let's see here. Oh, interesting. Let's do this. Let's grab, let's grab line five, Abner, out of Danbury, Connecticut. Hey, Abner, you're on Gun Talk.
Hi.
Hey there.
Okay, here's my question. Yeah, I myself personally, and you know, hear me out completely, I don't like guns at all. But mm-hmm. at the same time, I do not believe in eliminating our Second Amendment rights. I hope that got through.
Okay.
And also that people who are law-abiding should not lose their guns whatsoever.
Okay.
But here's the other question is, there are black markets where a lot of the criminals are getting these illegal guns. Why are they not doing a crackdown and finding them and shutting them down?
What makes you think no one's doing anything about that?
Because I haven't heard anything about, they always want to take the law-abiding people's guns. They're always obey the law, everything, done everything right, and mm-hmm. their guns are being taken away while these others are getting
okay.
guns from the black market.
Right.
They're getting it and using it, and that's where we're having a lot of
sure.
problems.
Okay, let me address that, because you got two different things. You got the news of the gun ban people who want to take guns away from law-abiding people. That's a political thing. The other issue you're talking about is a law enforcement thing. And there are people in ATF and different agencies and state agencies who are absolutely going after people who are illegally trafficking in guns. It's clearly against the law. And people in the gun world, gun makers, the National Shooting Sports Foundation, they help the authorities to go after those who are illegally trafficking in guns. You just don't hear about it because the media doesn't talk about it, because it doesn't play to the idea. The media would like to say, oh, there are no controls out there and criminals are running wild and nobody's doing anything about it. Not true at all. These people are getting arrested and put in jail, but the media doesn't cover it. So how would you know about it if they didn't cover it, right?
In a form it is, but in my, this is my opinion, take it or leave it. As I said, it should be covered and told in the news. So we got, both sides of the coin, if you know what I mean.
Well, except that you're saying it's your opinion, but my point is, you're basing your opinion on incomplete information. People, there are agencies that are going after that, people who are actually arresting people who are illegally trafficking in guns. And look, there will always be criminals. There have always been criminals. We can't stop them from, trafficking in illegal drugs. We're doing the best we can do on guns. Now, if we could just get the DAs to charge them and keep them in jail, and we get the judges to sentence them and keep them in prison, that would work pretty well. I'm in favor of that one. We'll be right back with more Gun Talk.
The Ruger Max 9 is a micro-sized striker-fired 9mm pistol offering 12+1 capacity and a high-visibility tritium fiber day-night front sight. The Ruger Max 9 is optic-ready for direct mounting of co-witness J-point and shield pattern micro red dot sights. Available in three different models: manual safety, state compliant, and pro. The Ruger Max 9 is your next handgun. Find out more at Ruger.com/Max9.
Hunters and anglers are great for our economy, generating $76 billion annually. Hunters and anglers keep people working, supporting 1.6 million jobs. Hunters and anglers are wildlife conservation's backbone. Ducks Unlimited's mission is to fill the skies with waterfowl now and forever. Hunters and other sportsmen and women have stood behind DU's commitment to wetlands conservation for 84 years and counting. Want to help? Visit ducks.org and become a DU member today.
Some say a silenced gunshot is the baddest sound out there. At Silencer Central, we have another favorite. It's the sound of silence delivered to your front door. When you buy from Silencer Central, we handle your application, set you up with a free NFA gun trust, and deliver your silencer straight to you. With an average 90-day turnaround time when you use e-forms, buying a silencer is simpler than ever. Visit silencercentral.com and we'll help you get started.
Talk about recoil for a minute. All of us pretend we don't, are not affected by recoil until at a certain point we wake up and go, yeah, recoil bothers me. I went to this garage sale yesterday, and it was the widow of a fellow who owned a gun store. He was a gunsmith. And I picked up a few things, but one of the things that caught my attention, I grabbed both of them, were these, I'm not even sure what they call them, but they're recoil pads, if you will, but you put them on yourself. It's from PAST, P-A-S-T company, and you slip your arm through a strap, and strap goes around the other way, and you put it on, and you've got this nice little cushion on your shoulder where you have the rifle or shotgun on. And they had two of them, and I picked them. One I picked up for our buddy Nicholas, a 13-year-old who's nearby. We were out shooting his rifle recently. It's a 7mm weight, and it's a fairly lightweight rifle, and with full power loads, it's a pretty good bit of kick. And he was handling it well, but after a while, as it does with all of us, it started to affect him. I rolled up basically a foam mouse pad and stuck it under his shirt, and man, he really liked that. He said, that really works well. Well, so I saw these two things and grabbed them, and so now he can have one, and I'm going to keep one just to have around. I guess my point is, if there's a point at this at all, is to understand that recoil is real. Recoil affects us all. As you get more experience, you decide, I just don't like to be beat up, don't like to be hurt. And the other part of it is recoil is fatiguing. I mean, if you're out shooting a 12-gauge shotgun and you shoot it 20 times, no big deal. You go out and shoot it 200 or 500 times, it starts to work on you. And maybe it's not a case of you're going, well, it really hurts. No. Sometimes it's just a fatigue thing that at the end of that, your reflexes are not as good. You're not moving the gun as quickly on target. All that to say, honor the recoil and what it does to you and take steps to mitigate it. So how do we mitigate recoil? Well, recoil pads, you know, recoil, I mean, thick, nice, like decelerator recoil pads or, you know, kick easy pads or those things, those really work well. Dropping down in power. If you shoot a 12 gauge, maybe you switch to a 20 gauge. Honestly, there's not much you can't do with a 20 gauge these days with the modern loads we have, and the recoil is less. So there's that. Muzzle brakes. I'm not a huge fan of them for hunting because I don't want to shoot one without hearing protection. But at the range, if you're just doing a lot of shooting and load development and that type of thing, a muzzle brake on your rifle really reduces recoil a lot. You know what else reduces recoil? Suppressors. Put a can on your gun. That will really reduce recoil. There's another factor here. At least part of what we perceive as recoil is not really the energy of the thing coming back at it at us. It's the noise and the blast that comes back at us. And that's particularly true of handguns. The noise and the blast. Well, if you can reduce the noise and you can reduce that physical blast thing that comes back and hits you in the face, it's simply more pleasant. Again, suppressors or silencers work very well with that. Of course, you can always go with, in a particular caliber, try to find a way to reduce the recoil in that. And maybe it's lighter loads. Maybe it's using lighter weight bullets. If you're shooting, for instance, a 30-06, and you're shooting 180-grain bullets, you might drop to 150-grain bullets, 130-grain bullets. The lighter the projectile, the lighter of everything that goes out the barrel, the less recoil. Maybe if you're a hand loader, you can load them to a little bit less velocity. And now several different companies are actually offering factory loads that are reduced recoil. In most cases, they're still plenty powerful enough to kill a deer. But it's just enough to where it makes a difference in the recoil. The reason, and I've said this over and over again, I think the reason that the 6.5 Creedmoor is so successful and so popular is because it has very little recoil relative to other deer cartridges, say to a 30-06, much less recoil. People enjoy shooting it. They shoot it better. They shoot it well. And let me just say this. I don't know what it is about some of the folks online who just want to mock and beat up people who like the 6.5 Creedmoor. I think it's a form of macho chest thumping or something. You know, I want to shoot something that really kicks hard and hurts me. Okay, knock yourself out. But to say, to make fun of the 6.5 Creedmoor cartridge is kind of silly. Because it's really just the modern version of the 6.5 by 55 Swedish cartridge that's been around and killing stuff literally all over the globe for more than a century. It's simply a really good caliber. And if somebody were asking me, I want to get my first deer rifle, what caliber should I get right now? I'm probably going to tell them to get a 6.5 Creedmoor. It does everything you want to do out to reasonable distances. It doesn't kick a lot. You get good bullets. You can find ammo for it everywhere. I have a hard time figuring out why you wouldn't go with the Creedmoor. Are you a Creedmoor shooter? How'd you end up with that? Let me know what you think. 866-TALK-GUN. I'm Tom Gresham. We'll be right back with more Gun Talk. You remember the video clip of Dianne Feinstein saying, if I could have gotten the votes, Mr. and Mrs. America, if I could have gotten the votes, I would have banned them all and confiscated all the guns? Yeah, they're still on that same track, you know. They're still wanting to ban all the guns. And The U.S. House of Representatives just passed an extensive gun ban. A lot of semi-automatic rifles, a lot of semi-automatic pistols, a lot of semi-automatic shotguns, all banned. The manufacturer, not possession, they're not confiscating yet. Now, it's got to go to the Senate. Don't know what's going to happen there. So, you know, I don't think it passes the Senate. But now would be a good time to start contacting your senators. I mean, there's nothing wrong with making a pest of yourself. It costs you nothing to call their offices once a week. You got two senators. This is not difficult. Call their offices once a week. Hi, this is Joe. Still want to make the point that I want the senator to vote against any type of gun ban that comes before him in any form or fashion. No exceptions, no ifs, ands, or buts. Next week, hi, Joe again. Just still want to make sure the senator knows. Okay, Joe, we got it. When they start recognizing your voice, you're getting close to enough calls, but not quite. Just keep calling, okay? Let's see. Bob's in Jerseyville, Illinois. Hello, Bob. You're on Gun Talk. What's up?
Hi, I have a quick question for you.
Sure.
I support Alan Gottlieb and the Second Amendment Foundation, but I'm not totally sure what the difference between the Second Amendment Foundation and the Citizen Right to Keep and Bear are. And I know he's connected with both, and I support them both, but I'd kind of like to know what the other part of it is.
Sure. Second Amendment Foundation and the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. One,
yes.
I think a Citizens Committee is educational and does not get involved in, like, litigation. The Second Amendment Foundation is strongly into the courts and litigation and fighting for gun rights. So two different functions coming out of the same place. Good on you for helping to support both of them, because it takes all of that. So does that help?
That helps a lot. Thank you.
All right. Good deal. All right. Steve, line one, Omaha. We got about a minute for you, Steve. So dive in, please.
Okay. I'll be quick. I'm a 6.5 Creedmoor fan. And mm-hmm. I stumbled onto it early. I mean, I got into it early, but I was looking for something in the middle calibers, and I kept hearing you talk about the quarter bores and this and that, and I had a 25-06, and it was louder than I thought it should have been. It kicked more than I thought it should have been, so I thought, you know what, this 260 is really what I've wanted all these years.
Right.
Started looking at the 260 and was researching it, and then the 6.5 kind of took over popularity, even though the 260 is just a little bit, maybe 100, not much faster, but maybe 100 feet per second or two.
So did you get a Creedmoor?
Pardon?
Did you get a Creedmoor?
I did, and I love it.
What do you?
And it's and then it became popular right after I did it, so I thought I was genius for doing it.
You're the one that did it. You started the whole ball rolling there, Steve. I mean, and I know what you're talking about. You're thinking, okay, I want the quarter bore. I don't want something that kicks too much, but I want it to shoot well. I'm telling you, the 6.5 Creedmoor, and you're right, the 260 Remington is a great caliber, but it completely has been superseded by the 6.5 Creedmoor. It's just where it is. The faster twist rate and the longer bullets, the high BC bullets, that just took over completely. Hey, if you want to be part of the after show, now's a good time to call 866-TALK-GUN. If you haven't heard the after show, shame on you. Pick it up for wherever you get your podcast. And if you miss any Gun Talk shows, they're all available on podcast. You can go back as far as you want to. We've been doing this quite a while. In the meantime, go out and do a little bit of shooting. Get ready for the seasons. Take a friend with you. Get into reloading. And watch your back when you're out in public. Thanks for being here. See you next week.